Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and God, our Father, and his Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open our ears this morning to hear your message to us. Fill this room with wonder, love, and praise, and awe at what Jesus, our Savior, has done for us and continues to do, even as he is alive and risen today. In his name we pray. Amen. Signs and wonders. We hear that phrase a lot in the Bible, especially in the book of Acts. In some places we hear that the Jews demand signs and the Greek demands wonders. We've heard that before, right? But signs and wonders. It's a pretty amazing thing when we read the Bible and we hear, like in today's lesson, the signs and the wonders that the apostles did. It's pretty amazing today when we turn on Benny Hinn and seeing the signs and, well, never mind. But anyways, signs and wonders. They play a pretty important role in the New Testament, in the ministry of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we kind of lose the reality of what Jesus is really trying to tell us when he talks about signs and wonders. Sometimes we, because we are sinful human beings, as he says, the Jews demand signs and the Greeks demand logic and wisdom, saying in other words, they don't want to believe the word in and of itself. Sometimes we want these signs and wonders to happen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today and what was really behind these signs and wonders and what was the point of these signs and wonders. It's pretty important in our Acts lesson for today. In fact, throughout the entire books of Acts, even if you go back to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, which I find as the foundational verses for the Christian church, it says that everyone was together and the disciples performed acts and wonders and they fellowshiped and their numbers grew. This is a crucial part of the growing church. But I'm here today to tell you, it really truly wasn't about the signs and wonders that brought the people to the Christian faith. It really wasn't. I mean, sure, it may have attracted some attention. I mean, yeah, if you saw my Facebook page yesterday, you saw what I'm going to do for next Easter. Did anybody see it? It's pretty amazing, signs and wonders. We're going to put up a big thing here with an empty tomb, and all of a sudden sparklers will come out, and fireworks will shoot out, and it'll open up, and the tomb will open up, and Jesus will be there, and everybody will clap. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty amazing, and I am joking, by the way. But go see my Facebook. It was a Catholic church, and I'm like, wow, we could have some fun with that. But signs and wonders, if it was all about signs and wonders, we could just do signs and wonders in here and make believe, and everybody would show up. And the reality is we know that people don't come to believe in Jesus and come to church these days because of signs and wonders, because they're around us every day. We look at creation itself, the beauty of creation itself, the beauty of our peace garden, what Tom works on it so hard, the beauty of the leaves coming out in spring, the beauty of our Easter lilies, the beauty of creation that's all around us. It's a sign and wonder, isn't it? But I don't see people flocking to the church because of that. I don't see people flocking to the church when real love is given in our culture, because I believe when people truly love, as Christians ought to truly love, that's a sign and wonder, isn't it? Because it doesn't happen much these days. All you have to do is look at the news. People just don't love each other anymore. That's the reality of the world we live in. But when they do, it's not very often you see people flocking to church. We see the birth of a child. Now, who cannot believe, and we know, especially in our doctrine in the Missouri Synod on the sanctity of life, that a birth of a child, this precious, precious child, is truly a sign and wonder and a miracle. We know that. But people don't flock to church because they see a baby born, do they? And we see safety and peace and hope around us. When you're driving down the interstate and somebody nearly takes off your front bumper, but your car or you stops itself. My car stops itself nowadays. It's scary. But anyways, you put your brake on, whatever, right? And your heart is beating and you realize, woo, I could have just been killed. I think that's a sign and wonder and a miracle right there in and of itself. But people don't flock to church afterwards to thank God that they were saved from a car accident, do they? And we, in our Christian church, we see the signs and wonders of the Lord's Supper and baptism, which we'll talk about. And we see the signs and wonders of being able to get out of Walmart alive these days, or even better yet, get out of Costco or Sam's Club for less than $100. That is a sign and wonder. And I just don't see people flocking to church when that happens. Yet we do see people wanting more science, wanting more inquiring minds types of things, wanting to watch the History Channel and the Discovery Channel because they found this and this and this proves the Bible over and over again. My friends, I don't watch those things. You know why? I don't need those things to prove Scripture, because Jesus proves Scripture himself, because he is the Word. He is the sign and wonder. Just like Thomas today coming in, you know, and Jesus shows up. It wasn't in reality that he wanted to sign and wonder. He wanted to see Jesus himself. It was Jesus himself being alive in front of him, the living Word that increased his faith and filled him with joy and wonder and awe. I can't stand it when I hear science say, well, we have proven God or disproven God, or the evolution theories prove this, or, you know, there's scientific evidence for the creation theory, because we don't need it. The foundation of our faith is not built on any sign, wonder, or proof. The foundation of our faith in the Lutheran Church, there's three of them. What are they? Grace, Word, Scripture, and faith. When we are built on those foundations, we don't need signs and wonders around us to point us to Jesus, because we already know Jesus, because he's claimed us in baptism, tells us about himself through his Word, and shows us himself on the cross, and gives us himself in the meal of the Holy Supper. We don't need signs and wonders. Shoot, if it was signs and wonders that everybody needed, then every TV preacher's church would be filled. Benny Hinn would have countless people waiting at his door to get in as he heals people and raises people from the dead. I just like using air quotes. I don't know why, but that was fun. But it wasn't the signs and the wonders that brought the people. It wasn't the signs and the wonders that really worked in their hearts. Sure, it attracted them, you know, it's true. And there are a lot of churches today built on the attraction model. They have the best lighting system and the sparkly firework resurrection scene, and, you know, the professional musicians playing in their music, and, you know, whatever it is they might have, right? And they attract people in because they want to be part of that. That's called the attraction model of ministry. And people want that. That's what they want. They want to be in there. And they like it big, because when it's big, too, it attracts them, because then they can sit at the very back and don't have to do anything. After all, that's what Jesus called us to do, right? Don't do anything for your faith. I don't remember the scripture saying that. But what we do know is when those people are attracted in, they're not hearing the real gospel. They're not hearing the meat and the truth. They're hearing the false messages of, if you believe hard enough and if you give enough money and if you do these things, then Jesus will be good to you. But the true word is what brought people in the early church. It was the true word. If we look at Acts chapter 2, and if we look at the reading from Acts today, it was very clear on what was working. The people were together, and they were in the temple, and God said to them, go and tell them what you've seen. Go and tell them the truth. Go and tell them my word. When we look at Acts chapter 2, which is the foundational passages of the church, it says, the first thing it says is they were gathered together every day, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Every time acts and wonders occurred, it happened after the word of God was preached in truth and purity, that Jesus has died and that Jesus has risen and that Jesus will come again. It was the gospel message that brought the people together. You see, the word of God is the power. The word of God is what drew them together. The word who is our risen Savior Jesus. He is the greatest sign and wonder of all. Think about it. What more do we need than someone rising up from the dead? And yet people still don't believe it. I just go, gee, that doesn't make sense to me. But he's the greatest sign and wonder of all, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and has opened the kingdom of heaven to you. The fact that he died on the cross to forgive our sins, that God himself in the form of his Son would come down to suffer torment and hell and torture on the cross to make sure that we would be forgiven and righteous in his sight. This is a sign and a wonder, as his blood now covers us and we are made as white as snow in his eyes, because our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. The fact that he would rise from the dead. He didn't have to do that. I mean, the cross is really good enough, right? But if he hadn't risen from the dead, St. Paul says our faith would be in vain. It was that resurrection that sealed the deal, that made the promise true, because Jesus sprung forth and says, now you have victory. Now I am alive. Now you triumph over sin, death, and the devil for eternity. What a sign and wonder. The fact that he chooses you in baptism. I don't know about you, but I believe what I confess, that I'm a poor, miserable sinner Does anybody else believe they're a poor, miserable sinner? Oh, good. Most of you. Those of you I'll talk to you later that didn't raise your hand. We have it on camera. But I'm a poor, miserable sinner. And I'm shocked every time I think about the fact that in baptism, the Lord Jesus claimed me to be God's child. An imperfect, poor, rotten, miserable, stinky, filthy sinner like you and me. Jesus wiped away our sins, marked us with his cross, and said, you will be a child of the Heavenly Father forever. And oh, by the way, he didn't stop there. I'm going to give you my kingdom. I'm giving you my kingdom. Now, if that isn't a sign and wonder, I don't know what is, produced by the Word himself, Jesus Christ. The fact that he still chooses poor, miserable sinners like you and me to come forward to this table, to give us a feast of the victory to come as we kneel down to receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the body and blood that was hung on the cross for you and for me, the body and the blood that rose up from the dead so we can have salvation, comes into our lives in this real presence. And the Word says, I choose you again. I forgive you your sins. I give you eternal life so that you can live with me forever. What other sign and wonder do we need? But the Word interacting in our lives, telling us how much we mean to him. God himself telling us by name, into our ears, personally, intimately, how much we mean to him. If you need a sign and a wonder, think about that for just a second. The fact is, signs and wonders were good works produced by faith through the Holy Spirit in response to the Word. This is what we as Lutherans always, always, always build our foundation on, right? It's grace alone, right? We're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by any outward work of our own. That outward work of our own is produced by God through baptism, the Word, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper by the power of his Holy Spirit. When the disciples were out doing those signs and wonders, it wasn't them doing those signs and wonders. It was God using them to do the signs and wonders so that people would see the good works of those disciples and praise their God who is in heaven. Isn't that what Scripture teaches? The reason we do good works, the reason we show the world Jesus through our lives is not for our benefit. It's to show the world who Jesus is and what he's done for us, that he's taken broken, miserable, poor sinners like you and me and has mended us from the inside out, filled us with his love and grace, and uses us to show the world who Jesus is. That is the sign and wonder the world is looking for. And how powerful and amazing it is that Jesus does this. In fact, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. It wasn't the signs and wonders, brothers and sisters. As much as we want to look at them and say, wouldn't that be cool if they happened, which they do happen around us, we just need to open our eyes and ears a little more. It was the fact that the disciples surrendered their lives to the word of Jesus and allowed God to use them so that the unbelievers and those on the outside, those who were broken, those who were hurting, would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. This is the point of our lesson, the point of the signs and wonders. You see, we gather together to hear God's word. And when we do, there is a sense of awe and wonder that comes over us as we hear forgiveness. We are strengthened and equipped to go out and carry God's word. We are forgiven and loved so that we may live every day in him. We are sent to be the signs and wonders of Jesus Christ to the world. And this is how it's done. Number one, we are the sign and wonder to the world as we practice forgiving other people. Oh boy, is that hard. It is hard to forgive people. We want to hold grudges. That's our sinful nature. We want to hold on to the past. It's our sinful nature. And we are all guilty of it. But one of the greatest signs and wonders is we go out to somebody and we say, you know what? I forgive you. You are forgiven. Because God loves you. Another sign and wonder is we go out and we love the world. We did that yesterday here. We had so many people here in our own church who came for a wonderful, wonderful human trafficking seminar. And you know, every person that left, including our county sheriff, said to me in one way or another how hospitable and loving the members of our church were. Now, if we can take that to the outside with our neighbors and get to know them and our coworkers and our fellow students, if we can take it and carry it into our lives, you see, the signs and wonders of Jesus are done as we go and we love people. And sometimes that means loving people who are not very lovable. I didn't say like them. That's a different story. I said love them. Because God loves us. He doesn't always like what we do, does he? But he loves us. And that's so powerful. Because love changes the world. And signs and wonders are done as we go out and we share our lives authentically, vulnerability with others. And this is hard for us to do in our culture and society today, especially for men. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to show our weaknesses. But the reality is we connect people with people when we are genuine. We connect with people when we are genuine and we say, you know what? I struggle with this sin. I struggle with that worry. I struggle with this doubt. I had those problems too. Let's walk together and see what Jesus does in our lives. The world needs it. You know why? Because where does the world get most of its relationships today? A little thing called social media. And you can hide behind it, and you can be fake. But love and forgiveness and Jesus, his signs and his wonders work when we are vulnerable, when we are weak, when we submit, when we surrender, when we are genuine. The world needs to see Jesus. They need to see our good works for Jesus. They need to see signs and wonders of a God who uses sinners, broken people, hurting people like you and like me to declare the marvelous works of a Savior who has risen from the dead to give us eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.